Hello and all, welcome to the TNC podcast, your go-to Norwich City. Listen, the Canaries are on a playoff push. It's nearly done.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Not quite secure.
Not quite. Yeah. I like that. I like that from Norwich. Just giving us our money's worth all the way through the season.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never easy.
Good way of summarising.
I tell you what as well, fifth place. We're talking about maybe just scraping into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Fifth place. Currently, win at Birmingham. We know what Birmingham are all about.
I'm not alone, I'm sure, with most Norwich fans. Well, but I think it's most Norwich fans in that I still have PTSD from Fulham away back in God knows when, under Neil Adams, it was when we got absolutely twonked on the last day.
I think it was pre-Neil Adams, wasn't it?
No. I think it was Neil Adams. I'm sure it was Neil Adams.
And all Worthy, wasn't all, it, to stay up?
No, because...
No,
because Worthy got binned. Bless him. Anyway, all we needed to do was to draw.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
We didn't.
Big time, we didn't.
We always lose at Fulham. We've probably lost there under Hughton, Adams, Worthy, and whoever else.
And Birmingham are Birmingham, but we'll do that in a bit. Jack, we drew to Swansea.
We did. It was a good game, actually. Was impressed by Swansea.
Yeah, it was a decent game.
In their sort of very, very bright pink kit.
And you know me, I am very, very hesitant as to ever, ever compliment the opposition because they are the enemy. But I have to say, Swansea, they defended so well.
Tidy outfit.
So well. They moved the ball pretty quickly in midfield. They were pretty crisp in terms of their passing. They kept possession relatively well. They got up the pitch quite quickly, but specifically their defending. And I was so gutted for... Actually, this is such a random shout, I think, but Shane Duffy, because he had two chances cleared off the line after like some absolutely brilliant, towering headers. Borja had a great chance in the first half, cut back, took it well, but again, just brilliantly blocked. Sargent, it was a bit of Nunez trickery, wasn't it? Cut it to Sargent, couldn't convert, not because Sargent was poor, because of their brilliant defending. So on another day, and I know it's a case of if my auntie had ball, she'd be my uncle, but on another day, I think we could have comfortably won that. So.
Absolutely.
But I think Swansea probably deserved the draw, to be honest with you, Jack, I have to say.
I think a draw was a fair result. And I must say, that last 20 minutes, it could have gone either way. Mm-hmm. One of the better sides to come to Carrow Road this season. There was a new face in the Barclay end.
There was. The Cuban baller Barclay boy.
The hooligan.
Yeah.
He loved it.
Yeah, he almost got kicked out. No, I'm joking.
Well, how did that come about?
Well,
I was standing there in my seat going, oh, I'm actually here before Chris, which is a rarity. Usually I'll sort of rock in just on kickoff. Right. And in you walk with the Cuban baller.
So I'll happily disclose all here, right? So O'Neill and I have been chatting for a while about how good it would be to get him in the Barclay. Because he's never, ever experienced what it's like as a fan in the stands.
Yeah.
Like he's been, obviously, behind the dugout before. He's been in the dugout, obviously. He's been on the pitch, obviously. But throughout his career, he's never, ever, ever been in amongst the fans, the ultras.
The ultras. Is that what we're calling ourselves?
So, no, not ourselves. The Barclay, the singing section is what I mean. Anyway, so we managed to make it happen, kindly due to one of the supporters, Claire, that sits next to us. Thanks, Claire. Anyway, so me and O'Neill, we arranged to meet before the game. I said, right, 2:40, we'll meet outside the Gun Club and we'll get you in.
Right.
Anyway, 2:40 comes and he's on the phone and he's running past and he says, Chris, come this way. I said, well, what, mate, the entrance is here. And he went, no, I need to go for the team meeting. I was like, for God's sake, don't get me in trouble, O'Neill, right? This is pre-match, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. So then he has to run in the City Stand entrance. I'm waiting outside like Billy No Mates, thinking it's 5:03 and I'm outside the City Stand. O'Neill goes in for the team talk, right? To get in arm in arm with the team. Runs out with, I think it was 4 minutes to go till kickoff. And he's like, right, let's go. So we had to then run back round the stadium into the Barclay, through the ticket entrance, through obviously the stand. And by the way, you need everyone watching this, listening to this, go and watch Anel's vlog from the
very
day.
Very amusing.
It's an iconic match day vlog. Anyway, the most funny part for me was we get out of the sort of, you know, the stairs, obviously, to the stairway to heaven, yeah, we call, yeah, it. Right, to look over the pitch of Carrow Road, right? And Elle turns around to the left. I tell him, right, Elle, we're on this row. And the lady on the end, I don't know her name. It was so funny because she didn't know what to do, and she looked like she'd seen Jesus at heaven's gates. It was just so funny. She was like, hello. It was just brilliant, innit?
It was so lovely seeing everyone's face. Yeah. I think you'd see they'd sort of have a take and then go, oh, the second take. They're like, mm-hmm, why is Arne Ellen in? Like, has he sort of got lost? But it was really lovely, and actually, like, it was the atmosphere was really good on Saturday,
yeah,
and the drum was going. The drum's recovered from its apparent injury, and he was joining in with all the chants.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it came round. Oh no, give us a chant. Bottled it a bit, didn't he? Because you were saying to him, Gabby Sarah, you know the chant. We've sung it lots and lots.
Yeah.
And then I think he forgot the words. So, didn't he? Or forgot the tune at least.
Yeah. So on this, right? So I'm chatting with him. And I said, look, O'Neill, it's very likely that the Barclay are gonna sing at some stage, O'Neill, give us a song. Yeah. So I was briefing him appropriately, and I said, look, if I were you, obviously lots of people about, as much as it would be iconic, don't sing about Ipswich, right? Because you'll get in trouble. So I said, look, Sarah scored, so I reckon you sing the Sarah song, because as you say, you know the lyrics. So he obviously got up, and fair play.
On the chair,
He got up on the chair, fair play. He didn't quite nail it, but he did start the chant. And I think it helped the atmosphere in the second half and Elle being in there.
It was a great atmosphere. I really enjoyed it, actually. It was one of those games where you go, yeah, fair result. Both teams played well. We move on. Let's start, though.
Just hang on. Before we conclude on the Elle thing, the thing that he mentions in his vlog the following day.
Right.
Is he talks about, like, how it was nice as a player to feel what it's like as a fan when we don't score, how frustrating it is. Yeah. And for me, that was a key takeaway. So maybe he'll be able to sort of seep into the dressing room, like, you know, well, this is what the fans expect. This is what they moan at. This is what they like.
And it's lovely because, you know, whenever you sit in a different seat in Carrow Road, we're used to our usual seats, but you know, a cup game or something else. Yeah. It the game looks so different from another part of the ground.
Yeah.
Having gone from him playing to being in the stand, it must be such a different feeling. Yeah. Like, and a different
day. And I was expecting to be like ultra positive, but there was a few times where he was like, oh, for, you know, and he was getting quite aggy almost. I want to say thank you to all of the fans in the Barclay that were so polite and just very aware of the fact that he was getting mobbed.
Yeah.
He wanted a drink at half time, and oh my God, it was just, I mean, I never, ever, ever want to be a bodyguard or a bouncer. Count me out of that job, because I was trying to shuffle him through, like, yeah, let's have another one. Oh no, last one. And just, it was just coming. But anyway, he loved it, and thank you to everyone for being so lovely.
It was a really lovely day. Swansea did take the lead.
Yeah, they did.
It was a disappointing goal to concede.
Yes.
I think both Duffy and Gunn will be a little bit disappointed. I thought that the Duffy defending, he's actually been for the last couple of months really solid, I think, Shane Duffy. Yeah. One-on-one, doesn't do enough. Mm. And this is me being ultra critical, doesn't do enough. Gunny has been unbelievable all season.
Correct.
Beating it is near post. Look, it was a tidy finish.
Yes.
Snapshot, top, you know, roof of the net. It is
very
a tough
powerful.
One. Powerful. Again, I think the standards that Angus has set this season,
yes,
I think he'll be disappointed to let that one in.
I think so. I've got a bit of a different take on that first goal, Jack. In that,
lovely tea, by the way.
Thank you, appreciate that. Is that I think against Bristol City and against Swansea, as much as we have, and rightly so, by the way, praised Nunez, McLean, Sarah. It was a sloppy piece of play from, I believe, Gabby Sarah, where he actually gave it away to the Swansea midfielder that then they were then able to break quickly, which then created the
Brazil
goal, right?
Flag down?
No, because we are going to seriously praise him in a minute. But I just think we were a wee bit sloppy in midfield. Yeah. And actually, just a couple of lapses of concentration. We did marginally have, if you're into your stats, we did marginally have better statistics than Swansea in terms of big chances created, shots on target the weekend. But really, it was only those two opportunities. And that penalty is just one of those ones. Look, what I would say is, with Angus, with Shane Duffy of late, and also with Johnny Rowe as well, I was listening to your post-match review, and I thought you were quite harsh on Johnny, actually. I think we all need to remember just how far this team, this squad have gone.
Oh, absolutely.
But and actually, you know, we didn't lose. It's not the end of the world. If we'd lost, then I'd be fairly open to being, actually, you know what, let's be, you know, rightly critical. But I think we can let that one slide.
I think somewhat our lenses have been slightly tinted yellow and green because other results went our way.
I agree.
If West Brom would have won and Hull would have won, again, you know, if, buts and maybes, we wouldn't have been as, we would have been going, we should have won that one.
Yeah, but we're not. So it's pointless even talking about it.
I think Rowe came on and would be disappointed with his performance. Granted, difficult arena to come into. It was only that first goal, really. The penalty, again, bit sloppy.
Yeah.
But the way that we bounced straight back into it, much like the Bristol City game, actually, yes, where we
very
went
impressive.
Behind. Really impressive.
Just quickly on Johnny Rowe before we talk about you-know-who. Johnny has been fucking phenomenal this season and created moments of magic out of nowhere. Where I want to see... I said this in the last pod, and I was saying it when I was watching the Bristol City game as well. You want to see the ball played in front of Johnny Rowe for Johnny Rowe to run onto it. That's his strength, right? Putting defenders on the back foot. Shit, which way am I going to turn? Is he going to cut inside? Is he going to cut outside? Is he going to just fucking take me on, nutmeg me? You don't know. And Johnny, again, for that Swansea game, much like the Bristol City game, I think it was due to just the way that those two games were working out and just the vibe of the game, if that makes sense. He was playing in between the lines with his back to goal.
Yeah.
That's not Johnny's strength. Also, Johnny's not match fit, I think it's fair to say, after he's been out for a while. So I think, like, let's be really, really cautious with that.
No, absolutely.
But obviously, fucking Gabby Sarah, I mean...
It was a stunning strike. I mean, you know, the amount of different goals he scored this season as well is mightily impressive.
Yeah.
The actual goal, the strike, is phenomenal. Like, top draw. I love the little feint.
Yeah.
The body feint to give himself space. He's almost, there's a little subtle move where the defender thinks, he's going this way. Really subtle, opens up, suddenly he's got space. And actually, I think when a lot of players get in that position, you're going, don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot. I think with Gabby now, we're
you
confident
want
enough to
oh,
go,
yeah, you want
have
to.
A pop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just
love the power behind it. So you're on the feint. For me, I love the power behind it. I don't think we've seen a ball twatted like that since Bradley Johnson against Ipswich at home. Like, he just made it look so easy that he just hit it.
Yeah.
And obviously he didn't, but that's what I loved about that goal. And, you know, Chris Gorham obviously called it, as always, perfectly on his commentary. He said something along the lines of, off the bar, which makes it better. And it does, doesn't it? It was bloody brilliant. I mean, Gabriel Sarah, too good for the championship. So desperately unlucky to miss out on player of the season to Kenny. Kenny deserves player of the season, I need to add to that. What a bloody goal. What a player. And even O'Neill, going back to O'Neill in the stands was like, wow, what a goal, what a goal. He was loving it. So, yeah.
It was a great... And I think actually when... I mean, what was he? 25? Probably 25 yards out. Most goalkeepers will be expecting to make a save from that range. The keeper's got no chance.
No chance.
Whatsoever. It
no
is
chance.
Top draw.
Yeah.
If that was top draw, the cross for the Josh Sargent goal was equally as good. I hadn't actually realised when we were at the ground that he was the one that delivered the cross. The Sargent header is very, very clever.
Yeah,
it is
agreed.
Exactly what you're
across
taught
the goalkeeper.
As a kid.
Yeah,
down across the keeper. I suspect Ewan Roberts was there for the Swansea coverage. I suspect he's going, proud of that.
It was
one.
Very Ewan-esque actually. That goal from Josh Sargent, proper number nine finish. In my opinion, we've not elite, unless my memory's not serving me well, but I don't think heading of the ball is Sargent's particular strength. I think it's his runs and the way that he finishes, gets the ball out of his feet quite quickly. I think that's what I love about Sargent. I don't think it's necessarily his heading. So I was loving seeing that. Actually, just before that Sarah cross, I'm going to rewind it even further again. I seem to be doing this a lot in this podcast. And I want to praise Ben Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
The vision from the back line from Ben Gibson over the top was absolutely, it was a brilliant ball. Yeah. And again, just really highlights how good Ben Gibson's been, especially to the recent successful home form. You know, Ben Gibson has been a huge reason as to why it's been so successful.
Josh Sargent I've just been so, so impressed with him last few months. I mean, the goal's one thing. The energy, the work ethic. I thought he was unlucky not to score a couple more.
Yes.
There was a moment where he he manages to get the ball out of his feet yes. really quickly and link other players. And that, even when we haven't got the ball, 100% work ethic. He makes yep. defenders make mistakes. He is an exceptional striker.
And he's got the fear factor now, which is an added thing that you get once you've got the numbers behind you. And defenders go into that game going, oh, shit, we're coming up against Josh Sargent. I almost feel like it's probably what people think when they're coming up against, say, I don't know, Somerville at Leeds, for example. Dewsbury Hall at Leicester. Similar vibe. You know, there's a bit of fear factor there of, oh, bloody hell, this is a quality player we're coming up against here.
And I think when we spoke to David Wagner on the podcast, what was that, last season now?
Yeah.
He was very much, you know, I want width, I want my wing-backs to be bombing on, I want to create that kind of space. And I think we've really seen that last few months. Jack Stacey and Sam McCallum. Was really impressed with Sam McCallum at the weekend.
Agreed. Sam McCallum was brilliant at the weekend. But, I really, really, really rated his performance.
But Jack Stacey, I mean, the only criticism, I guess, would be you'd hope that a few more crosses would have met players, but even then it's being slightly critical. He must be a nightmare to defend against. He's so energetic. Defensively, he's very good.
When
you get these more attacking fullbacks, the criticism is, well, they can't really defend. He can defend.
Yeah.
It's his work ethic. He is up and down, up and down. He's calm. Yeah. He's considered.
Yeah.
And I suspect it's a real difficulty actually defending against this Norwich team. And that's why I was impressed with Swansea, because they kind of dealt with it quite well. And McCallum's high up the pitch. He wins the ball high. Stacey does the same. You've got Sarah dropping in. You've got Nunes that can bomb on. That attacking overload, when we're flourishing and we're moving it quickly, is really exciting.
Yeah, it is, Jack. I agree. Just on Stacey, a bit of insight on Jack Stacey, actually. And by the way, auction.
Mm.
Jack Stacey signed shirt is now up and available as an auction, as always, for Big C, our official charity partner.
We'll link that in the description.
Please do get involved and raise some money for a local cancer charity. I understand that Jack is absolutely loving life in Norfolk.
Good. Who wouldn't?
It's the fittest that Jack's ever been, and you can tell, by the way. You know, as you say, bombing up and down the line, blimmin' heck, just endless amounts of energy, fittest he's ever been. And also, he sees this as the, and rightly so, by the way, the biggest club he's played at. So bearing in mind, he's obviously been at Bournemouth, he's been at Luton. I think that's really good to hear as well. So look, Jack's really enjoying life in Norfolk, and you can tell because his performances have been absolutely bloody excellent.
What one slight observation that I'm not liking with Sam McCallum at the moment?
What's that?
The socks.
Socks are so short.
And actually, there's another Norwich contender that's getting on my annoying me slightly.
I forgot about your pet peeve. Short shorts.
Pull them up, put some proper shin pads on, and let's get stuck in.
I quite like it. Marginal gains, mate. Because
you don't
want them to be so tight around those big calves that footballers are developing these days.
Just pull them up. You look ridiculous.
Love it.
Again, slightly disappointing not to see it out. The criticism of, you know, if there was to be a criticism, was around the substitutions and what we did with that. And it did feel as if the last 20 minutes of that game, it was a little passive.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunate with, you know, Barnes hobbling off.
Yes, very unfortunate.
Hoydon coming on for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Sorensen coming on. It just felt a little bit confused.
The subs concluded that result, didn't they?
Yeah.
We weren't going to win the game with those substitutions, in my humble opinion. Let us know in the comments if you disagree with that. We've complimented and criticised David Wagner for his substitutions this season. Some have changed games and won us vital points. Others have lost us games, I think, and points. Luckily, and very fortunately, the defence is very, very good at home, and we managed to see that game out. But because, as you say, Swansea were knocking on the door. I think they had a couple of late-ish, or at least one late corner. I thought, oh, bloody hell. But no, I think the subs is interesting. The one that is something to think about, which I believe was mentioned in Dave Wagner's press, but I don't think it's been spoken about enough, is the reason why he bought Sam McCallum off is because he was feeling his hammy a little bit, so they didn't want to take any risks on him, which was why they had to bring on Sydney with 30 seconds to go.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, that's a bit of a piss. Yeah. Like, I almost feel a bit for Sydney there. I mean, for God's sake, he's not kicked the ball in Yonks. He clearly doesn't fancy Sydney. Sadly for Sydney, obviously, because we had high hopes that he'd be brilliant. Wagner obviously doesn't see it like that, which is why he's not had the minutes. But it was because Sam McCallum had to go off. So I think that's an important thing to bring into play. Also, of course, you know, Barnsley had to go as well. I mean, actually, Barnsley is...
Is that a concern now for the rest of the
season? Well, Barnsley, as far as I'm aware, has been struggling a little bit, or at least nursing it. You know,
well, if he was fit, he would have started.
Yes, I agree. Oh, yeah, no, I agree, because he's been crucial in terms of the way that we've played, particularly at home during this amazing run. Great NCFC number stat, by the way, on that, which I can't remember now, but it's out there. Go and check it out. It's like the longest unbeaten run in front of fans for like 18 years or even like 30 years. I don't know, but long time. Anyway, Barnsley. I believe he's been nursing an injury for at least a couple of weeks, actually. So, yeah, to bring him on, always a tough ask. I actually thought Farsi was all right, by the way. I mean, you said in your review he didn't do much, but actually I think what Farsi does... is he is an actual winger, and don't get me wrong, he's not necessarily the type of winger that would put a player on the deck, but he is a player that will bring the ball up the pitch fast and will get a ball into the box. And the one thing you can't deny this season is that with Farsi on the pitch, things seem to happen, and that's not by chance, right?
I felt a touch sorry for Wagner, because we all wanted Johnny Rowe on the pitch, right? Yeah. And I think if you ask 100 Norwich fans if they wanted Rowe on the pitch,
all
99
of them say yes.
Would have said
well, we
yes.
were singing Johnny Rowe from what the first like the 20th minute when he warmed
up. So you're going to have a difficult decision to make. The one that I thought, and again, I don't know the fitness kind of. Ins and outs of these players, I would have left Borja Sainz on the pitch.
Yeah.
I think he's the type of player
me too.
That when he's on the pitch, something will happen. And I think he's so effective and so exciting.
Yes.
That was the one for me. And actually, I wasn't overly mad about Barnes coming on, because I like Barnes and Sargent. Yeah. But I just think I would have probably taken Nunes off the pitch to get Barnes on and maybe drop Sarr a little bit. And it would have been fast act for Sainz. And I guess Johnny Rowe comes in that equation somewhere.
Things to factor in that. Wagner said that he kept Nunes on to press, which I thought was quite interesting. Mm. He sees Nunes as a bit of a bundle of energy, a bit of a terrier, which he is in midfield. Yeah. He's making a lot of tackles of late. His stats back that up. You could also say Sarr has actually been effective out wide, because the way that he scored against Preston was from the edge of the box out wide, brought it in, cut it in and shot and scored. It was a fucking brilliant finish. So he can play that position. It's not preferable. I think, look, there's loads of context. But look, at the end of the day, all of this stuff is almost meaningless debate, really, because we're still in pole position for the playoffs, and that is the only thing that matters.
I would hope as well that there was maybe a lesson learned there for when we do go into the playoffs. You leave Sainz on. For me, you leave him on, even if he's had a poor game up to then. You leave him on, he'll do something.
Yeah, no, I forgot to add that in. I think I totally agree with you on the Borja point. I totally agree. He is, for me, three most talented in terms of technical players. You've got Gabby Sarr. You've got Borja Sainz, and then you've got Nunes in that order. And I think that Borja is one of those players where even if, and I don't think he necessarily does have quiet games, but if he is having a bit of a quiet spell, he can still turn a game on its head, just that. Flick of a coin. Just one magic moment, one magic pass, one nutmeg, you know, he can do that. So yeah, for me, Borja should have stayed on.
I guess the only thing now is, look, one would hope, barring a miracle, that we are now in the playoffs, it would take us losing, Hull winning, and a 7-goal swing. Look, these things have happened.
It's an 8-goal swing, isn't it, by the way? I think apparently it's. I don't really understand why.
We're on plus 16, they're on 9. I don't know, maybe.
Anyway, apparently it's an 8-goal swing.
It's a big goal swing. Right. If that gets turned over, we deserve not to
swing
be in the
when you're winning.
I do think 5th place in instead of 6th is going to be vital.
Why?
I think we beat Southampton over 2 legs. Southampton are definitely going to finish 4th. They can't go either way. 6th place will face either Ipswich or Leeds. Now, I don't fancy either of those over 2 legs, to be honest. Ipswich for obvious reasons. Leeds, they've been poor the last few weeks. Got thumped by QPR, but I think are the best team we've probably face this season, I think.
More than Leicester? You think they're better than Leicester?
I think
do
so.
Do you? That's interesting.
I think so. So I'd fancy us over two legs against Southampton.
Yeah.
This is full of narrative. You beat Russ Martin in the
semis.
And you might have Ipswich or you might have Farke at Wembley. I think fifth is big.
I agree with most of that. I think sadly Leeds have bottled it.
No.
And I say sadly
in terms of automatics, yeah.
Because of you know who going upstairs for a bit.
But they should have won on Friday.
They're going to get absolutely battered upstairs, might I say, if they do go upstairs. Which they
Why are
you
calling
upstairs? I don't know. I'm just calling upstairs because I can't quite say the PL term with them. It makes me feel unwell. Anyway, Leeds is the only team that would go into the playoffs that I would fear.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Because even then, their form's been
poor
recently.
Bring on Brom. Bring on Saints.
Well, you say West Brom, they might fall out.
Oh yeah, true.
Might be us against the Tigers at Wembley.
But look, we've beaten Hull twice this season already. Yes, I think they've got some really good individual quality, but I think we are a better team than them. West Brom. This is the thing, right, that we should all take confidence from and why the playoffs is a lottery and why Norwich fans should puff their chests out a bit here. It's because look at the recent form and everyone in the playoffs has had a really poor result.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Leeds against QPR away.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck was that all about? West Brom lost how many to Sheffield Wednesday? Three.
Southampton, I don't think
Southampton won. Got embarrassed by
Stoke?
No.
Leicester?
Yes.
I mean, they've lost their last three.
Yeah. So look, I think Norwich are the team in form going to the playoffs, and Norwich fans should take a lot of encouragement from that.
Absolutely. Twitter questions.
Let's do it. Right, first question of the week, Jack, is from Jamie Everson.
Okay.
Hello, Jamie. He says, question. Would you rest any players against Birmingham? Ooh.
No, I would have... That answer would be different if playoffs were guaranteed.
Well, if playoffs were guaranteed, you'd play the Academy boys, right? Surely.
To an extent, I wouldn't. I think you have to go out... Well, first of all, we should be looking to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Birmingham are going to be bang up for it. They need to win to stay up.
Don't fancy that.
It is a cracking few games. You got Hull against Plymouth. You know, Hull could get in the playoffs. Plymouth need to win for his chance to stay up.
Plymouth at home, I might need to just add to that. And they have been all right at home, to be fair.
And then you've got our game against Birmingham. Mm. Same kind of connotation. So the only player I wouldn't be playing too much is Rowe. I think we need to really nurse him back. I think he'll be important in the playoffs.
Yes, agreed.
So he's the only one I'd probably be looking to manage.
Not Sargent? You'd play Sargent?
Well, you have to play Sargent.
I know, but just...
You have to play
Sargent. I agree.
You
but, oh, yeah, good point, because Barnsley's injured.
You'd definitely
so you
start him. Maybe you pull him off after 60 minutes.
The thing is, though, you'd be shitting yourself, right? And I'm really trying to not talk this into existence. Say we go 2-0 down and Hull are winning 3-0 at Plymouth.
Yeah, yeah. You get
you're thinking, shit the bed. Yeah. And then you'll be like, bloody hell, we should have started and then we'd all be in
uproar. No, you have to go into this wanting to win.
Agreed.
You have to.
No, I agree with you on that. And by the way, whilst we're here, to prove, as always, we like to see evidence. To prove you've watched and listened to this podcast this week, we want to see the hashtag of the week. And the hashtag of the week for this podcast is, Jack...
Birmingham at Birmingham.
Birmingham are Birmingham. Hashtag Birmingham are Birmingham.
Mm.
We all know what that means, don't we?
Ollie has got a request.
A request? That's interesting. Go on.
He wants some reassurance. He says, could you please reassure me that we will not bottle the playoffs? I just fear the worst, that we'll lose to Birmingham and Hull will thrash Plymouth. I know I'm worrying too much, but in this league, you just never know.
As I started this podcast with, I always have Fulham away in the back of my head. But I will try my best. Hull are away at Plymouth. Plymouth have been decent at home. They have been decent at home. Mm. I mean, they battered us black and blue, 6-2.
Yeah.
Right, they embarrassed us. So look, they can do it. Also, Plymouth have to win to stay out. Everyone's saying, well, Birmingham have to win. Well, Plymouth are going to be bang up for it. Mm. So I think that's something to take confidence from. And at the same time, like we have to remember, like, fucking hell, you know, we're a really good team. We're a really good team. And we come up against Birmingham, and yes, they'll be up for it, and yes, their fans will be up for it. But we have got the talent in our team to, you know, not fuck this up.
And I think the nice thing for us is Birmingham, there will be pressure on them. They know they have to win. we can go, look, there is a degree of pressure on us, but we can go in it slightly freer.
Mm.
I think the nice thing is as well, we won't be complacent. And I think that's good. I'm just looking, West Brom played Preston at home. You would expect West Brom to win that, I think, at home. Preston are on the beach. So
I don't, but you know,
I want to go to Birmingham and just, you never and just know. Win.
But Preston haven't been too shabby. Preston
They're
haven't
on
been
the beach, mate.
Mate, but Preston haven't been too shabby. Yeah, but they'll play with freedom. Look at hear me out. Bristol City and Swansea on the beach.
Yeah, that's true.
Fuck all to play for.
That's true.
Played with freedom against one of the best sides in the league. Yeah. You got a point.
That's true.
So I think Preston could get a point against.
I think Norwich will. I think my head is saying draw at Birmingham. I think Hull will probably do the same with Plymouth. I've got a feeling West Brom will win. I think we'll end the season sixth.
What about this? I'm going to call this naughty. This is from Nick. So I'm going to call this a naughty Nick. Question from naughty Nick. Does Sydney have a moment up his sleeve left this season? Could you imagine a Sydney Van Hooydonk goal in the playoffs?
I think you always get one of those moments.
If Sydney scores, we're on the pitch.
I wouldn't write it off because we're recording this pre. I don't think anything was said about Barnes post-match, was it? Or was it?
I don't know. I can't
remember. I would suspect that Barnes has got limited game time left in him now from now until the end of the season. We need a substitute striker. Sydney Van Hooydonk's your man. Look, maybe we've been saving him. We've been timing his run to perfection. And maybe that heroic moment comes in the playoffs.
You never know.
If not, we'll have to remember his assist for Fastnacht's goal against Cardiff City.
Yes. Absolutely. Like Becchio's versus West Brom at home when we beat them 4-0. Absolutely. That pointless game. What about this from Harry, friend of the channel, Harry Brister. Hello, Harry.
Hello, Harry.
This is a question for JR.
Oh.
Will you allow yourself to enjoy Callum O'Hare and his trendy short socks, I've added short in there, when he blasts a couple in the back of the net of the Binners net tomorrow evening? By the way, hello. Hello.
No, Ipswich beat them.
Hello.
Ipswich beat them.
Yeah, but Cov.
No, their stuffing's been knocked out of them. Stuffing's been knocked out of them.
Yeah, but they can cause teams problems.
Callum O'Hare is a great example of why you shouldn't wear short socks. Let his team down at Wembley.
That's poor from you.
Got them knocked out. Look, I must say with Ipswich, and look, I'm resigned to that. I think they will go up automatically. Threw that away against Hull. Oh my goodness, the goalkeeper. Awful.
Yeah, he's shit. A couple of quicks. Well, he is. Their goalkeeper is shit.
No, fair enough.
Couple of quick statements. One from Arthur Kemp says, says, God, how I'm pumped for the playoffs. City till I die. And another one from Twitchy Terry. Hello, Twitchy.
Says, I bet he's feeling extra twitchy at
says,
the moment.
Says, statement, Norwich whiffs, hums, pong, stinks of promotion. Wow. Someone's taking advantage of the discounted Lakers offer.
Absolutely.
In the description. Here you go. Let's have another one. Whilst I'm on a roll. Chris Allen says, prediction. Sydney is going to score a 1 yard screamer in the playoff final to cement himself as a Canary legend.
I tell you,
there was a funny chant at the weekend, wasn't there? If Sydney scores, we're on the pitch.
Look, I don't write Sydney off just yet. I mean, I think there's something left in the old boy. I really do.
Really?
Remember when Josip Dermić scored at Tottenham?
There's no tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow. I think Sydney's. I think there's a little moment in there. And I think we could be looking back in 20 years with the grandkids sat on the knee going, remember that moment when Sydney Van Hooydonk sent us to the Premier League?
Interesting, very interesting.
This is a good one from the Unthank Kitchen.
Hello, Unthank Kitchen.
Great breakfast. Quality. A corker in there.
Quality breakfast.
Rant.
Rant? What?
Yeah.
Go on.
Angus was not in the top three for player of the season. If we would have counted the saves he's made, that should have been goals, he would at least been ahead of Josh.
Yeah.
However, for the first time in years, the player of the season was a real competition.
Yes.
It must be a good thing.
Yes.
It's a shame.
Yes.
It's at Angus's expense. Look, he's the best keeper in the division.
Yeah,
and
is.
I'm not having anyone say otherwise.
Yeah.
He is.
But by the way, you could say the same thing about Gabby Sarra making it into the team of the year, but yet didn't win our player of the season. So actually, there's been lots of people that have been unlucky. I think the other outsider is Jack Stacey, who's been so fucking consistent this season. I think in most seasons would make it into the top three and didn't. But yeah, obviously...
I'm glad for Kenny.
I feel for Angus, but actually...
I doubt he'll care.
I don't... Does he really... If you're going to be third. You, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you want to win it. Of course you want to win it.
Yeah.
But if you're not winning it, do you really care about coming second or third? I'm not sure you do.
I'm really...
I voted
for Sarah because I think he's just been levels above everyone this season.
Well, I voted for Kenny, so yet again, I'm right and you're wrong.
No, this wasn't a right or wrong.
No, it was, because you said that it was Sarah and you are categorically wrong.
I wasn't wrong.
You were wrong, because you said that Sarah would be player of the season.
I didn't say he'd be player of the season.
Come on, Biggin.
Yeah, you got one there. You got one there. Well done.
Come on.
Well done.
Give me something. Oh, hang on. I'm going. Paul. At Norfolk Paul. He's back.
He's back.
Of course he's back. But this time it's not a definition. Oh, no, he has. Sorry. Of course he's got a definition. Paul says, if you look up the definition of aroused, there are no words. If you look up the definition of aroused, there are no words. Just a picture of the Barkley end after that Sarah goal. That man is the Norwich fans' Viagra, and he's taking us up.
Wow.
Pun intended.
Norfolk Paul.
I reckon he's on the
Viagra. He's feeling lively.
When he's been saying that.
He's feeling lively.
Yeah. I reckon he's up after that.
Oh, wow. I mean, it was a great goal.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were excited.
To be fair, we were all aroused in Barkley, weren't we?
That was a great moment.
O'Neill included.
George Hales, his statement, bring on the East Anglian derby at Wembley, 26th of May, day before my birthday. That'll be a present when we beat them again. I really hope that doesn't happen. I just couldn't do it.
Do you know what
I couldn't do it.
Do you know what my ultimate fantasy is? And obviously, by the time this goes out, possibly, it'll all be, I don't actually know when you're putting this up. Anyway, my ultimate fantasy is Ipswich completely fuck it up and they go out in the semis to, who would they play?
West Brom. Yeah. Well, depends on where we finish. This is what I mean. We need to finish fifth.
Yeah, but my ultimate fantasy is Ipswich get beaten in the semis by Brom.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great.
And then we win the final. That would be
That would be the ideal.
Yeah. I would be permanently aroused from that.
That would be the ideal.
I would literally never come down from that up.
CJ, statement. I remain unconvinced by Wagner's in-game management, tactics and negativity before towards our broader squad. He deserves some of the credit for the turnaround, but I think a better manager could be more consistent, and I'm concerned for next season if he's still in charge. I think that's a fair comment.
Do you know, there's a lot... Do you know, there's so much, there's so many things that we're putting on the back burner in terms of the conversation at the moment. And by the way, maybe that's a good thing, because all that really matters now is backing the boys in the playoff push, right? And doing everything we can to support them. But all of the conversation around Wagner's future, around the contracts of players, which is massive as well, there's six out of contract. In fact, I think there's now five because Big Bad Barden's got his contract. By the way, brilliant decision.
great decision, yeah. You're just very passionate about...
Yeah, why wouldn't I be? Are you disrespecting Big Bad Barden?
Absolutely not.
Triple B?
Definitely not, no.
Respect the greats, mate. He's going to be a top keeper.
I know.
Can you show some respect to Big Bad Barden?
I can laugh
you
and be happy.
You scoffed at Big Bad Barden getting a new contract.
I'm happy for the lad.
Yeah, good, you fucking should be. Anyway, all of these conversations...
You've forgotten where you were.
No, I haven't. All of these conversations are an aside, but I can understand that perspective. There's lots of questions over Wagner's... in-game management around his tactics overall. If we're in the Championship next season, I don't know what, but no one knows really, apart from the top brass at Norwich City, what Mr. Napa is planning. So it'll be really interesting to see whether he does change it or whether he sticks, because we have to remember there's not a single player that doesn't love working under Daniel Wagner, bloody Nora. It's been a few years. David Wagner, right? Mm. They all really enjoy working with him. Something that's interesting as well, I understand, is that there's a lot of chatter around just how good David Wagner is at the end of a season in terms of his motivational tactics surrounding his work at Huddersfield. Because remember, David Wagner's Huddersfield
went
up through the playoffs...
Without scoring a goal.
Without scoring a goal in open play.
Yeah.
Right? So this boy, he's done it before.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been there, seen it, done. I mean, that's the whole Leeds thing and the Farker thing of Oh, he's been here and done it before. So is Wagner.
I just think... Yeah, no, absolutely agreed. I just think, like, let's just put that to one side.
I agree. Time. Oh, yeah, that can't...
But it is a conversation and obviously area that should be looked
at. I think the conversation has certainly changed since December when we were going, when he might not even be here at the end of this season, let alone next season. Now there is a genuine possibility that he might be here next season. And I also think, I agree with CJ. I've been unconvinced with a few of his bits and bobs. But if he was perfect, he wouldn't be managing in the Championship. He'd be in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So, you know, there isn't a perfect manager in the entire division.
Yeah, and a lot of it,
agreed. I mean, even Kieran McHenry has been lauded as the next great thing.
Yeah. Well, you saw him banging the dugout.
I mean, they will be regretting not winning that game on Saturday. So.
And even, what's his name? I'm going to mispronounce his name. The Leicester gaffer. Maresca, is that his name? Mm. All the Leicester fans was slagging him off halfway through the season.
You're never going to get it right.
And I think a lot of it depends on player coming and goings as well, right?
Because
actually, if we have to sell the likes of Sergeant, Sarah, God forbid, Gunn, or even bloody, I hope I'm not talking this up, Borja, or any of our top players, if we're left back at the beginning where it's like a project restart, I don't know, is he going to want David in on that? I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
It will be. Jay says rant.
Another rant.
Yeah, but this is a constructive rant, I think.
Right, go on.
It's got some stats.
Yeah, good. Go on then.
If Stacey could cross a ball, we'd be top of the league.
Oh.
He's excellent.
Let me finish. Who said
and
this?
And then I'll give you a right for a
response. Who is it? Harsh, Jay.
Let me finish. He's excellent at getting into great positions, but his final ball is lacking. Yesterday, on Saturday, he attempted 11 crosses and not a single one of them was successful. Throughout the season, his crossing accuracy is a below average 17%. I would agree. I think Stacey's great. And when you're delivering the amount of crosses he is, you're not going to make, you know, not all of them are going to be successful. I would like a little bit more composure over some. I thought Saturday was particularly poor. There was a lot that was just thrown way, way over the back post. Again, he's a Championship defender. He's better than most.
I know this is a bit of a weak response, but if you were running as much as him, you would also be. And I know this is
good. I'd be dead.
We're not. Yeah, obviously we're not professional footballers, and neither is Jay, right? But I think a lot of empathy should be shown around that. Like Jack Stacey is the least of our fucking worries in his crossing, and we wouldn't be top of the league. I tell you what, where we would be knocking on the door, right, is if Sargent had stayed fit.
Yeah, that was a big.
Then I tell you what, we'd be knocking on the
door.
Yeah,
I agree.
Not for top of the league. But for automatics,
so I agree.
You know, so look, I think, you've put some stats in there, Jay, and I do love that from you, because we always say
facts don't care about feelings.
Correct. And that is a fact.
And but they don't care about feelings.
But I have to admit, it has hurt my feelings.
Very good.
What about this from James B at MushXXL?
Wow.
Statement, wait for this.
Go on, Mush.
From a Villa fan.
Oh.
I'm yellow and green next weekend and hope you stuff the blue noses and they're at their place to relegate them. OTBC up the Villa. Of course, we are going to be having the Claret and Blue boys. They'll be supporting us, won't they?
Yeah.
Be interesting.
And I suspect a lot of them will be supporting Hull as well as they're trying to get West Brom knocked out.
Yes, yeah. Maybe in so return, much. You could lend us back. What's his name?
Buendia.
Oh yeah, him. Lend us him back.
He's a bit good.
And then we'll beat Birmingham.
I agree.
How about that?
That's a good deal. Ben's a statement. We've done so well to recover from November. Don't think it would have been possible without Sargent returning. That was the catalyst and Sarah magic and key moments. Not scared of who we face in the playoffs, but I just hope Wagner and the players adopt the same attitude. I don't think they'll be scared of anyone going into the playoffs.
I know they're not scared. I'd say I don't.
They shouldn't.
I'll say it. But none of those players are scared about who they face in the playoffs. I know that for a fact.
Good.
And you need to know that. So trust me, these boys are fucking pumped to do a job for us. Yeah.
And
we've said it before. My God. Football, just as it is in life.
Mm.
Life, football, it's all about stories.
Mm.
Stories are what make the world go round. Stories are what we hold on to forevermore. Stories of iconic moments are what make us renew our season tickets. Stories are what we pass down through generations to the future of Norwich City supporters. And my God, is this story set. Wagner, the players, Weber leaving.
Mm.
you know, Josh Sargent injury, what would have been? Mm. Couldn't do it the easy way. The scenic route, as Chris Gorham said in our podcast a couple of weeks back.
Mm.
The story's set. The stage is set.
That's exciting.
And if that doesn't turn... And by the way, if that doesn't turn you on, nothing will.
Jeff Mann. Proposition.
Hello, Jeff.
Let's get big Mike Attanasio in the Barclay for the first leg of the playoff semi-finals. Make it happen.
Ooh.
That's a little fruity one. That's a fruity one to put in the mix. What? Big Mike.
That's actually really good. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'll, do you know what? Who is it?
Jeff Mann.
Jeff Mann. I pledge to you that I will message Mike and I will ask him.
He's got to get a ticket.
I promise you that I will ask him. Mm. Oh yeah, good point. He's got to get a ticket. That is a problem.
Here's a good one from Gabriel Sarah's left peg on Twitter. It says, question, what was
as opposed to his middle wicket.
Left,
did I put you off there?
That was a very good one. And what was your favourite goal? Sarah against Swansea or Vrančić against Blackburn? Remember that?
Nah, Vrančić against Blackburn.
That was a corker.
That it? Was class.
What a night that
sorry
was.
Sorry, Gabriel Sarah.
Can you remember our night? We were in Redwell Brewery.
Yeah, we were. Absolutely on it. Yeah, we were getting on it.
And then I went on a night out in Yarmouth afterwards. It was absolutely brilliant.
You just, the atmosphere that night was unbelievable in a jacket. So good. I miss Mariam and his perfectly groomed eyebrows.
Oh, great, great bloke.
By the way, he had top man as well. And still supports the club, by the way.
Charlie Soames.
Hello, Charlie. I'm
not quite sure if this is a word, but we'll go for it anyway.
Okay.
With an arousement.
I quite like it. New category. Maybe you should ask for that each week. Send us your turn-offs and arousements.
That could get dangerous.
Yeah, it could, but good.
His arousement is Wagner's wand wanging Wembley way wonderfully. We are closing in on a Wagner wand on Wembley way.
Yeah, we are. Wagner's wand on Wembley Way. We've said it so many times this season, and maybe it's coming true. As I said, the story is there. The stage is set.
I think we've touched on it briefly, but question from Jake is this question. Who do you both fancy in the playoffs?
So
what is your dream route? Semis and final?
I want Southampton.
In the semis?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we need to finish fifth?
Yeah.
And then who do we beat in the final?
Brom.
Yeah.
Well,
so you think Brom will beat either?
Well,
Leeds
if I could choose, well, if I could choose, like in terms of what would arouse me the most, obviously being Ipswich.
Oh, but do you want to go?
No,
the
I don't. No, I don't. But that's what I had to add in there. Fine. If you could give me like the ultimate, you know, Norwich City wet dream, that would be what it would be. But for me, I think it's Southampton, and then the final. I do not want. What I need to make really clear is. I am scared of Leeds. Okay. I don't like the look of Leeds.
Even their recent form.
Mate, their quality is ridiculous. They've got like 25 million, 50 million pound players in that team.
But I tell you what you would like.
They should not be in this league.
You'd like to beat Farker.
I would really like to beat Daniel Farker.
Look, I think I'm the same. I think that the easiest route, and there's not an easy route, would be Southampton, West Brom. But you just never know. With the playoffs.
You never know. But do you know what? That's the fucking fun of it, right? And the Norwich fans should be up for it. You know, this is lottery zone now.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. This is a nice one from Katie. She says, watching the highlights on Swansea TV made me realise just how lucky we are to have Chris Gorham and Rob Butler.
Yes, we are.
The local press in general.
Considering
we're a championship club, the coverage is phenomenal.
Yes.
Across the board.
Yes.
It really is.
I mean... Obviously, I'm biased towards Rob Butler, my boss at BBC Radio Norfolk, but, you know, and Chris Gore, I mean, where do you bloody begin with him? You know, the voice of Norwich City. What a man.
Absolutely.
What a man. BBC Radio Norfolk is phenomenal. We are so fortunate that they cover Norwich City.
We are. Protect local radio at all costs.
Next time we talk, Jack.
Yeah.
Either the hats will be back on from the off.
Yeah.
Or...
We need a therapy session.
We will be shutting down the channel forever.
I'm really excited for Saturday's game. The fact that we're even in this position, I'm grateful for, because I'd written off the playoffs in the middle of the year. The comeback's been good, as you say. The story's set. The narrative is there now. Let's just finish the season. What is it? Potentially four more games.
Yes.
Give it everything.
Yes.
Let's become heroes.
Yeah.
Right? Let's write these players... in Norwich City history, right? Yeah. Josh Sargent, playoff winner. You're remembered forever, right? Jack Stacey wins at Wembley. writes itself in Norwich City folklore. Marcelino Nunes, right? I suspect when I'm 70, if Marcelino Nunes leaves in the summer and we don't go up, I probably can't remember who Marcelino Nunes is. If he goes up, oh, I'm remembering him, all right. Remembering him. All right. Right?
It was going well until
it was going well. This is a big moment. This is a big moment.
So
get nervous, get excited. This doesn't happen too often. We're living through history at the moment.
Nervous, and also scientifically, neurologically,
right?
I think that's right. What your body feels with excitement is the same as nerves.
Ooh, okay.
So if you feel nervous, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Use that nerves.
Yeah.
Feel those nerves, and fucking channel it with your voice. Yeah. All the nerves, and just pump out passion. Yeah. In the stands, pump that passion out. Yeah. Back the fucking boys and make some noise.
Look, this is a big few weeks, and I'm just sitting here at the moment, and I think we'll look back to these discussions and these games and these goals in 10 years' time and go, "God, brilliant few months that was." I'm really feeling good now. I'm feeling very optimistic.
Too optimistic?
Dangerously optimistic.
Let us know what you're thinking.
No, I'm going to let myself get carried away because this is a good group of players. As I keep on saying, best keeper in the division, one of the best defenders in the division, the best midfielder in the division, the best striker in the division. Facts don't care about feelings, and they are the facts. So these boys deserve to be in the Premier League, and it's happening.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
God, you really are. And by the way,
this
is a stone cold sober episode.
Absolutely. I'm just feeling good about this team. I'm just looking at that Swansea game going, we've drawn 2-2, we didn't get out of third gear. Imagine us in fifth gear. You wouldn't want to be the opposition. You really wouldn't be. You really wouldn't want to be Daniel Farker and that Leeds team going, oof,
yeah.
I've got to defend Josh Sargent.
This is banana skin.
Oof, I've got to put up with Gabby Sarri. Yeah, good luck, boys.
Yeah.
You're going to need it. Good luck. Russ Martin, he must be going, can I get out of this job now? Can my assistant take over here? Right?
Matt Gill, what a boy.
Yeah, put Matt Gill in. Throw him in there as the guinea pig.
Oh, God.
Because Russ is looking at this going, I'm scared.
Oh, mate, fucking hell. He's going to be messaging me now you've said that.
He should be scared.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Russ, your opportunity to leave is now. You don't want to be on the end of this Norwich side.
Well, do you know what is of benefit to you saying this?
What?
There are no Southampton fans. I'm so confident that Southampton fans are just AI. You're very lucky that by saying that there will be no backlash from Southampton fans.
Well, if we have
seriously, when we used to do opposition previews, we can never find a Southampton fan. They don't exist.
No.
Anyway, thanks for watching this Talk Norwich City podcast.
It's been a pleasure.
And don't forget, if you have watched all the way through, prove it. Hashtag Birmingham are Birmingham.
I'm looking forward to next Monday. I think we're going to be here very happy.
And the hats will be on.
They will. Good to see you, mate.
See you later, mate.